Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sales Intel's show, The Pipeline Pioneers, where our goal is to help the community learn from the experts, from the leaders, from the practitioners as to how to generate the most optimal pipeline. As we know, pipeline is very important. It's the lifeblood of any business. And we at Sales Intel believe that generating pipeline is a team sport. It truly takes a village to build a pipeline that converts into revenue. It's not just a responsibility of a salesperson or BDR organization or the marketing organization. It truly takes a village to get the pipeline going. Today, I am excited to have Neil Weitzman with me. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's an honor, and I'm a big fan of the show and of you and your organization. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. It's kind of you. So Neil, let's get started by telling the audience about yourself and how in your role you help either the organizations that you help or your own company generate the pipeline.
Yeah, thanks. So I do have a couple roles here. And so I'm going to probably focus on one mostly for our discussion, but just as a really quick intro, I do two things. I have my own company where I focus. We have a community focused on immigrant entrepreneurs. So it's called Porch, and pipeline, obviously very important, as you know, our pipeline or our customers are our community members. So I'm always thinking about how do we keep generating potential community members to join us in the community and so on. But for today, I'll probably focus more on my role that I'm incredibly passionate about as a fractional CRO, which is my company called RevenueX. And I get the luxury and honor of working with many organizations, mostly B2B SaaS organizations, but a little variety, where, yes, one of the most important things I do in my journey with the CEOs of those companies is focused very heavily on pipeline. I've never met a CEO or anyone who hasn't said, we need more pipeline and we need better pipeline. So that's always a core staple of my engagements, and lots of learning, lots of experience, lots of failure, which helps us get better. But it's very, very exciting. And I'm honored to be able to talk with you and talk with the CEOs about pipeline. So happy to dive in.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So Neil, you mentioned you help multiple companies. Last year was hard for a lot of companies. You know, we didn't hit the numbers. The pipeline was just not enough. The conversions didn't happen, optimally. When you look back at 2023, is there something that jumps out to say, you know what, this was a mistake. I wish I had done things differently.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if we said I and the companies I work with didn't make mistakes. We all do, and I think, as you said last year, many people made mistakes. Hindsight's 2020, right? I think there's two things that stand out as maybe the biggest, I don't know the mistakes, but the biggest areas or problematic areas of 2023. And today too, and I know we'll talk about that later, but today as well. And I think those two areas in no particular order are getting enough leads, and which is interrelated with inconsistent lead flow. But a little bit different in how I would, I think, explain those. For number one, getting enough leads, I think that needs to be thought about as getting enough quality leads. Mm-hmm. Lots of companies, I mean, who doesn't want more leads? But we have to be careful in what we wish for and what we do, because we don't want a lot of crap leads. We want good, high quality leads. So it's not just a matter of more pipeline, more leads, more inbound, more cold calling, more whatever. It's how do we really focus on the quality aspect of that with proper qualification, proper discovery, proper ICP identification, all the things that make up, you know, good quality opportunities. I think a lot of companies in 2023, maybe because of previous years, I don't want to say took it for granted, but it was easier. And now we need to focus a lot more on, are we really focused on quality? Do we truly understand our ICP? Do we have good data? Are our sales teams doing proper discovery and knowing when to say no and knowing when to really dive in and focus there? So that's one. And the second, inconsistent lead flow. Of course, that's interrelated with what I just mentioned. But I also think the idea of different channels or motions come into that as well. I think, or at least in my experience, many companies I've worked with focus, you know, their huge majority of their focus is on maybe one channel. For example, cold outreach. And so we all know, we've all seen all the data and all the numbers. It still can be very effective, but it's definitely harder than it was before. So if that's the case, what are you doing? Where are you testing? What other channels and motions are you looking at to fill in those gaps or to expand? And I don't think a lot of companies are doing that very well, especially let's call it earlier stage companies, which is where a lot of my focus on. You know, how do they find the time to focus and test different channels and different motions? I think that's a big one, which can help with inconsistent lead flow.
Got it. So consistently get good leads in the pipeline, right? That's a learning. So now that's great. So 2024 is here, right? We have new budgets, new initiatives. What's one thing that you are excited to experiment that you haven't experimented before in terms of generating the pipeline?
Experimenting. I think there's a few. I mean, there's some, without getting too deep into tools and technologies, I mean, there's so many things in there that I'm excited to experiment with and to get the teams I work with to try, from the different tools like Clay and all the things that Sales Intel can do for us. There's so much data and information that I think can help people, especially coming back to that idea of quality, right? Like, how do we get good data, good information, good tools that can help us be more effective? I think the theme is becoming more efficient and more effective, which to me is an analogy. There's a metaphor that I like to use with the teams I work with that has landed pretty well. And I think many of us are familiar with that, the metaphor of the jar with rocks and sand and pebbles. Mm-hmm. And we attribute that to life, right? The, you know, the rocks are the big important things and the sand are the little things. And so that's a pretty common story or metaphor. I like to use that, but think of it as a pipeline, right? So if you put a twist on it and you say, and to me, this is a big theme and learning for 2024, in my opinion. If you think of the jar as the sales rep and the jar doesn't expand, the time is limited, right? And how do you fill that? The rocks are the quality opportunities. The sand is, of course, all the things that we need to do as sales reps or as salespeople, you know, the learning and the relationship building and the activities and the admin work we have to do. And the pebbles are those low quality deals and opportunities. And if you fill that jar with too many of those pebbles, you know, the sand will always find a place, right? But the pebbles will take up all the space for the rocks and you'll never get any good quality.
I love the analogy.
Yeah, so I use that a little bit. It lands pretty well because people can visualize, my God, my HubSpot pipeline has too many damn pebbles in it and I don't have even time to really focus and look for those high quality opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of it that way. I find those types of metaphors or visualizations work well. Everything else is just a lot of stuff going on. So how do you really focus and put your mind and your resources in the right place?
Makes sense. So focus, 24 areas, focus on those big rocks and bring a couple of those to the finish line to hit your numbers.
Love it.
Love the focus here. Now let's switch the gears. We are going to play an interactive game.
Oh, I love it.
So I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
And you will see on the screen, you have 100 pennies, right? And your goal is to place the right bets. I'm sorry, here. So we're going to play an interactive game.
I love it.
You'll see you have 100 pennies and your goal is to make the decisions to distribute these pennies across different channels that will deliver the most optimal pipeline for you or pick one of your customers.
Sure. So, okay, I'm curious. Can't wait to see all the information on this from all other folks. Yeah. This is great. I think I'd say, I'll start just by saying, obviously it depends on the company, right? Like large enterprises, multi-billion dollar companies versus early stage. I think the answers might vary greatly. I think, so for my purpose, I'll use you know, maybe a fairly early stage company, let's say B2B SaaS under 10 million ARR. So let's just use that as an example. So for that type of organization, generally speaking, I think what I would say is, I'm going to say, so I definitely, I'm going to expand, if I'm allowed, to expand the word community to include community, go-to network, warm intros, all that type of stuff. I'm going to bucket that into the word community.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm going to put a quarter of my penny. So I'll say 25 of them there.
Okay.
I think that's really, really important. You know, go-to network, leveraging relationships, et cetera, all go there. Partnerships and co-selling, hugely, hugely important, especially as an earlier stage company, to find those organizations that align and focus on the same ICP that we can work together. I think that's huge. We've all seen the data on how partner and co-selling can exponentially increase your chance of closing. I'll put, you know, I'll keep it simple. I'll put 25 there too.
So each coin is 10 cents, right? So you can pick either two or three.
Perfect. Thank you. I didn't know. Perfect. So I see that at the top. I'm sorry. So yes, that sounds good. 2020 is good. Sales-led growth, I'm going to think of sales-led growth as a lot of cold and warm outreach, I think is the right way to think of it.
Your BDRs, your AEs doing the outreach, yeah.
Okay, so let's put 20 there too.
Okay.
I know that's become a little less effective, at least the cold part of that, but it's still hugely important. And how else do you reach people that nobody knows and there could be great opportunities? So I'll put 20 there. Because this is an earlier stage company, I'm going to put 10 on the founder.
Okay.
I think that founder has to play a big, big role.
Absolutely.
Generally, the founder in early stage companies is also the best salesperson and the best marketer and the face. So I think that can't go unnoticed. Where, Manoj, where would organic and content go? Would that be under marketing?
It's marketing, yeah.
Okay, so let's put 20 there.
Okay.
I think that's hugely important.
Some marketeers try to split it between the brand. They think that content and organic is part of the brand and marketing is all paid. You know,
okay.
You can distribute pennies as you.
Yeah, I would say I'm not focused on paid.
Okay. So,
I wouldn't put my pennies on paid.
Move some of your money into branding.
Okay. I appreciate you helping me here because there's many choices, some great choices here.
Yeah.
I normally think of events as part of marketing too, but you've got it broken out here.
Yeah.
So I think I would, I guess, put the other 10 on potentially events.
Perfect. So you have a good distribution here. You have put.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very indecisive. I want to do everything and try and test.
Yeah. Look, you know, that's what the marketer's responsibility is, to test a few ideas and then double down, right, as to which are working.
Yeah.
So you put 20 on each sales community and partnerships and 10 on marketing, brand, founder, and events. So that's how you have distributed your pennies.
Yeah. And just to add it, I think the reason I've clearly been very across the board is because as an earlier stage company, I don't know exactly what the best answer is yet. So I do need to test and learn and spend my pennies in different areas to see which does deliver the best impact for the business. And then ultimately, you know, next year or 2 years from now, I may be able to, you know, reduce and really focus on the ones that drive the biggest impact. But yeah, I think there's a good distribution from an earlier stage company perspective.
That's great. I love it. I love the diversification early on, getting as much data points for early stage companies as possible.
Right.
So Neil, this is how the community has invested or has decided to invest their pennies. I'm going to overlay your data on top of this sheet and would love your take on this as you see the comparison between the community's bets and your bets. What do you think?
Wow, really put me on the spot. I love this. This is great. I'm not going to change my answer. I like where I've spent my resources or my pennies. I also think, I mean, I don't know the minds of all the different people who answered here, but I feel like even in community-led and partnership-led, it has a lot of AEs or sales involved in it. Like, you can't do those things without those sales reps playing a big role. I'm not sure if the other people who answered were thinking of it the same way I am. So just because I put my pennies in community-led and partnership-led doesn't mean to me that the salespeople aren't playing a big role in that. They are. So I'm thinking about it more as the channels or the motions I want to do as opposed to the salesperson involved or not. Yeah. So I like my answers, and I think I stand by them. I stand by my answers.
I love your decisiveness. I would love to bring you back on the show here in 6 months and see how your bets are playing out and how you're thinking about redistributing those penny. So thank you so much, Neil. We really appreciate you joining us on the show. I'm sure the community has lots of listeners that come from the small businesses and under $10 million, you know, startups in SaaS space, and they're going to get a lot of value from your insights. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I'm honored to be here. So thanks very much.